Now we know. We humans have a history of embracing change and an amazing track record for successfully turning the extremes of crisis into life-affirming transformation. Geology, for example, tells us that 20,000 to 30,000 years ago, the climate of our world changed suddenly, and it happened in a big way. From the preserved bodies of woolly mammoths discovered with the remains of their last bite of food still in their mouths, to the fossils of tropical plants preserved in Antarctica, now one of the coldest places on Earth. The geologic history of the Earth confirms that the climate changed quickly and dramatically in the past in ways that gave our ancestors little time to adapt. There was nothing in their memory that could have prepared them for what was happening or told them what to do. We know that they did adapt to the unexpected change, however, and that their ability to do so paid off. Not only did they survive, but their numbers increased and their descendants, our ancestors, migrated throughout the world to populate the land at even greater levels than before the freeze. More recently, we've demonstrated our ability to pull together as a global family, to overcome some of the greatest changes of the modern world. Our ability to rebuild the world economy after the stock market crash of 1929 is a perfect example of this kind of unity. The unprecedented renaissance that took place in Europe and Japan after the destruction of World War II is another example of what I mean here. The point is that when we're faced with big problems, we characteristically rise to the call and create the level of cooperation that's needed to meet the challenge. In times past, however, there was a key difference between then and now. Throughout the greatest shifts of our past, we've typically dealt with only one crisis at a time, like a collapsed economy, the devastation of war, or a pandemic disease. So we know we're good at meeting the challenge of individual crises. What makes our present-day challenges so very different is that we're dealing with multiple extremes of different crises all converging into the same window of time. It's this fact that makes our era of extremes so very different from times past. Unless we think very differently than we have previously, we already know where the trajectory of the world's extremes is leading. It's the world today that is the product of the past. To successfully meet the challenge before us, we must answer three key questions. As individuals, as communities, as nations, and as a global family, we must look squarely into the mirror of our lives and ask ourselves, number one, how can we solve the issues we face if we're not honest about the issues? Number two, are we willing to accept new discoveries that reveal the deepest truths about our relationship to ourselves and the world? And number three, how do we adapt to a changing world through applying the principles of modern science and spirituality to everyday life? In December of 2012, I had the opportunity to pose these very questions to an indigenous healer living in the jungles of Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula, a man that is now my friend. Once we got past the barriers of language and translation, the answers came quickly. He began by unrolling a tapestry that he borrowed from a local vendor. A man after my own heart, I thought. I viewed his woven tapestry as the jungle equivalent to the PowerPoint slides that I use to illustrate ideas for my audiences throughout the world. The image on the brightly colored weaving showed the Mayan Tree of Life, the template for Mayan life, art, and spirituality. Pointing with his finger, my friend highlighted the 13 levels of heaven, the upper world above the ground level, the 9 levels of the underworld below ground level, and the branches and roots of the Ceiba tree, the sacred tree that connects both of these worlds. While the idea of an upper world and an underworld, or many underworlds, may at first seem to reflect the Christian idea of heaven and hell, there's one important distinction that my friend was quick to point out. In the Mayan tradition, the levels of the underworld are not viewed as bad places. reserved for people who've done bad things, nor are the heavens only for good people who do righteous deeds. Rather, my friend described both the heavens and the underworlds as different facets of the same experience, a continuous experience of living and learning. He said that we all experience both the heavens and the underworlds as part of our great life journey, which is based upon cycles. Driving the cycles of experience in all the worlds and everything in our lives is a force that cannot be represented in a picture. It cannot be represented at all because it encompasses everything that exists. It's beyond description. The name of the force in the Yucatec Mayan language is Hunab-Ku. This knowledge formed the foundation of my friend's answer to my question. He explained that the key to the wisdom of his ancestors and their knowledge of life's changes is that they did not separate themselves from the world as we have today. They did not separate one experience from another. They did not separate art from science or spirituality from everyday life. From the movements of the stars to the cycles of the weather, all aspects of life were viewed as part of the mix, as pieces of a single continuous experience. Because of this worldview, our Mayan ancestors were able to gain powerful insights into nature cycles of time and change. I listened carefully to what my healer friend was saying. It's been said that the events of history repeat themselves. It may be that the knowledge of the past repeats itself as well, showing up time and again, and appearing in our lives just at the time that it's needed. It's this kind of holistic view, describing the interlocking continuity of all life, that's now reappearing as the conclusions of the best science of today. Both science and indigenous wisdom remind us that we're all part of all that we see. This means that we're a part of the solutions as well. The key is that we must first shift our perspective so we can recognize our connection. It's this kind of thinking that makes all the difference between reacting to our time of extremes and living with the resilience that allows the extremes to become our path to transformation.